Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We pray that you're inspired by the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Tyson Coughlin. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Vision Church and would like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to visionchurch.com and then selecting the Give tab. We want to thank you for checking in today. And now please prepare your heart for the Word of God.
All right, if you have your Bible, turn with me this morning to Judges chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Judges chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Anytime the pastor tells you to go to the book of Judges, you know you're in for trouble. You know you're in for it. All right, the book of Judges. I want to take a second, like I do every week, and that's to glorify the name of Jesus above every other name. This morning we've gathered to lift up and exalt one name, and it is the name of Jesus Christ, the King. When you leave this church, we pray that you don't leave talking about the preacher or the music. We pray that you leave talking about the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. You down with that? Anybody believe that it's all about him? And even if you don't believe it, it is. All right, so you're welcome. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about lessons from the life of Samson. Lessons from the life of Samson. In the Old Testament, you'll find three chapters nestled in the book of Judges that describe the life and the tragedy of this man named Samson. Judges chapter 13 through 16 tell the story of Samson, and I believe that there are some valuable lessons for us to draw this morning from the Word. I want to pray over you before we totally jump in. Father, we come to you in the name that's above all names, and we give you praise for this morning, and we welcome you to continue to move in this place in truth and in power. Holy Spirit, blow through this place, touch hearts and lives, and I pray, God, that we would all be transformed by your word today. I pray that it would make us new, that it would transform us more into your image today. Help us to not take this moment for granted, but help us to be fully alive in this moment. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Samson is an oxymoronic character. He is very contradictory in his very nature. Samson is a little bit of a peculiar biblical character, all right? His story begins with a miracle, yet it ends in tragedy. Samson's mother was barren. She thought that she would not be able to conceive a child. And the angel of the Lord appeared to her and told her that she would be with a child and that she was to set him apart as a Nazarite, a priest, a servant unto God. Samson had everything that a man could ever desire, but he was always empty. The Holy Spirit of the living God rested upon Samson, yet he continuously lived in the flesh. Samson was set apart from birth as a Nazarite, yet he lived his days as an enemy of God. Samson was a warrior chosen to fight for Israel, yet he was a man who befriended the Philistines, God's enemies. Samson was strong before men, but he was weak with women. Samson was a man who was chosen by God, yet he chose the world. How could a man so strong be so weak? This morning, I want to talk to you about lessons from the life of Samson. How many of you know that wise people can learn from other people's mistakes? You don't have to make the same mistakes that somebody else made in order to learn the lessons that they learned. True wisdom is found in the fear of the Lord, and it's also found in learning from the mistakes of other people. This morning, as we reflect on the Word of God, I pray that we learn some valuable lessons from the life of Samson so that you don't have to learn the hard way and make some mistakes the difficult way. Can I get a witness? Anybody want to learn from somebody else's mistakes? I want to learn from what you did wrong, right? I remember early in my Christian walk, I had an opportunity to meet and be around some really elite Christian people, or so I thought. And I remember being so excited and anticipating, you know, forming a relationship with these people. And the closer and closer I got to them, I thought I was going to learn so much. But the closer and closer I got to them, I actually learned what not to do. And I actually remember saying to myself, if that's what a Christian is, if that's what ministry looks like, I don't want it. How many of you know sometimes you can learn more from what didn't go right than what did? All right? And so that's the mindset that we're going to look at the book of Judges with this morning. Judges chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. One day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, "A young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her. Get her for me." Guys, it doesn't work like that anymore. All right? It's not that easy. You can't just be like, "I like that. Go get it, Dad." It doesn't work. It just doesn't. Maybe it should, but I don't know. Verse 3. No, he doesn't. That's not good. All right. All right. I lost you. Verse 3. His father and mother objected. "Isn't there one woman in our tribe among all the Israelites that you could marry?" They asked, "Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife?" But Samson told his father, "Get her for me. She looks good to me." This Philistine woman must have been looking real good to Samson, all right? He was like, he was so infatuated with this woman's beauty. He was blinded by her beauty. The first point that I want to speak into your life this morning is going to sound very basic and very elementary, but I want to unpack it before you today, and that is, do not marry or date an unbeliever. I'm going to say that one more time. Do not date, and definitely don't marry an unbeliever, all right? Look at your neighbor and tell them with me, don't date or marry an unbeliever, all right? For real. Now, before you think I'm getting all legalistic and weird on you, I promise this is the word of the Lord. Samson was blinded by her beauty. If you have your Bible, look with me really quickly in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. Not all that glitters is gold. Don't be fooled by a person's beauty. Their beauty is fleeting. It is failing. It is not lasting. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit is one who is precious to God. First Peter says that we should not be blinded by people's beauty. Don't be blinded by the beauty of the Philistines, Samson. He was looking at this unbelieving woman. And by the way, some of your translations might talk about don't marry a foreign woman. All right, don't get it twisted. It's not talking about her race or her ethnicity. It's talking about she is a pagan. Her God is not the God of Yahweh. She does not serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She bows to the gods of the Philistines. She and the ways of God, they are foreign to this woman. And the Bible is warning you, don't make the same mistake that Samson made. Don't date an unbeliever, and definitely don't marry one. Remember, Samson's story begins with promise. Samson's life begins with the supernatural. It begins with a miracle, yet his life ends in utter tragedy at the hand of the Philistines. If you want to avoid tragedy, we got to learn some lessons from the life of Samson. Don't date and don't marry an unbeliever. Do not be blinded by their beauty. Listen, there is a difference between love and lust, and you and I must understand that this morning. We have to understand it. Love sees a person from the inside out. Love looks beyond the skin, beyond the beauty. Love looks at the inner part of a person, who they are, what their character is like. Love sees from the inside out, but lust looks from the outside in. I want to ask you a question. Are you blinded by somebody's beauty? Are you blinded by what is attractive? Remember that not everything that glitters is gold. Don't be blinded by their beauty. Lust of the flesh is not in the Father. It is not in Him. Lust and love look totally different, and it is critically important that we understand this. Love is selfless. Love prefers somebody else's needs above their own. Love is thinking about the other person and how to enrich their life, how to edify them, how to make their world a better place because you're in it. But lust thinks in the exact reverse. Lust is selfish. It thinks only about self-gratification, pleasure, and the appeasement of the carnal appetites. Samson thought he was in love, but really, he was in lust. Now, if you have your Bible, look with me again at Judges chapter 16, beginning in verse 6. Not only was Samson blinded by her beauty, not only was he blinded by lust, but he was also blinded by his feelings. Judges chapter 16, beginning in verse 6. So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me what makes you so strong and what it would take to tie you up securely." Samson replied, "If I were tied up with 7 new bowstrings that have not yet been dried, then I would become as weak as anyone else." So the Philistine rulers brought Delilah 7 new bowstrings. She tied Samson up with them, and she had hidden some of the men in the inner room of her house. And she cried out, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." But Samson snapped the bowstrings as a piece of string snaps when it is burned by fire. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Now, that's all I want to read right there from 1 Samuel 16. Samson was not just blinded by this woman's beauty, but he was blinded by his feelings for her. He ignored the word of God. He ignored the decree of God to not marry foreign women. He ignored the voice of his parents. He ignored the voice of reason that was constantly crying out to him, "Samson, don't go down this road. Don't make a mistake." I need you to understand this morning that not only beauty will blind you, but your own feelings, they will blind you. Now, I just need to paint this picture a little bit clearer so you get this. Did y'all read this story in 1 Samuel 16? Did you read it? Listen to what this woman says to him. Delilah was a bad woman. I'm going to tell you, this was a bad girl. I'm going to tell you, she was nuts, all right? She says to Samson, laying in the bed, they're not married, problem. They're laying together, and she says to Samson, "What is the secret to your strength? And how do I tie you up so that you can't escape?" Say, what? Look, Samson, if I were you, I'd have been calling 911. I wouldn't have been laying there. I'd be like, get the ambulance out of here. Help me, somebody. That's a red flag, right? But he was blinded by his feelings. And when you are blinded by your feelings, you overlook blatant red flags that are flying high, waving in the wind in your face. She asked him, "How do I tie you up so that you can't escape?" If that's not a red flag, I don't know what is. Should have been calling 911, Samson. This woman is bad. This woman is mad. I know you're not a believer asking those type questions. Your feelings will entice you to trust the wrong people. You've got to beware of your feelings, for they will deceive you. If you follow your feelings and you do what feels right, your feelings will send you straight to hell. I know that's not seeker friendly. I know I just said hell word in church, but it's in the Bible. You need to hear it. Your feelings will send you to hell. You cannot follow your feelings. You cannot follow your emotions. They are not a reliable source. They're not a reliable compass for you to navigate the spiritual realm in your life. If you listen to your feelings, you will overlook red flags all around you. Not only did Delilah ask him that question one time, she asked him a second time, and she asked him a third time. And every time Samson kept trusting, he kept believing. The first time, he tells her, "Use 7 new bowstrings that haven't been dried." And she actually does it. And she ties him up with 7 bowstrings. The Philistines come surrounding him in the bed. He snaps them and beats them all down. Then the next night, she asks him the same question. And he tells her something else. When you're following your feelings, you trust the wrong people. and you believe anything they say, ignoring the blatant problems that are right in front of your face. This Delilah woman was a bad woman, but Samson just could not see it. If you follow your feelings, your promise will end in tragedy. There is a promise that God has spoken over your life. There is a destiny that God has put before you, and nobody else on planet Earth can take your place. Don't sacrifice God's promise. Don't sacrifice your destiny because you're blinded by the looks of an unbeliever. You're blinded by your feelings of somebody that you know you shouldn't be with. I promise you, if you ignore the word of God and you follow your feelings, your promise will result in tragedy, just as Samson. Three people agree with me. That's all right. You don't have to. Friends and family are always telling you, he's no good for you. He's no good for you. You say, well, I know he doesn't have a job. I know he doesn't have a car. I know he's lazy. I know he plays video games a lot. I know that he won't go to church with me, but you don't know him like I do. Joker, please, everything you just listed was a red flag. Are you saying that you don't know him like I do? Everything you just said is a red flag. Y'all are ignoring the red flags right in front of your face because you are blinded by your feelings. Your feelings are dangerous. You gotta walk not by sight, but by faith. We have to walk and live by the word of the living God. And we have to trust this even when we don't feel it. Your feelings will absolutely deceive you. Everything, we overlook red flags. We don't have time for playing around. We don't have time for these games. We don't have time for playing around. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 tells us to not be unequally yoked. Look at your neighbor and tell them, missionary dating doesn't work. Missionary dating doesn't work. Now, you might not know what I'm talking about, but you will in about 3 seconds. You see, I meet people all the time that tell me, well, I know he's not a believer. Well, I know she's not a believer, but God put me in their life to lead them to the way. Y'all think I'm playing. I'm not playing. Here's the deal. I hear you, and it sounds so noble, and it just sounds so dishonorable, but I can promise you not every battle is yours to fight, and that battle is not yours to fight. You will never see an example in the Bible of someone leading somebody to Jesus through dating them. It don't work. It's way too complicated, way too convoluted. It just does not work. And what you should do, if you love somebody who's an unbeliever, instead of date them, you ought to intercede for them. You ought to pray for them. You ought to pray for their salvation. You ought to invite them to church. Keep them in the friend zone until... you got to be watching out. This isn't in the notes, but I'm just free-flowing now. You got to also be careful because if you let it be known that you got to be a believer first, you got to be careful because some jokers will play you and they'll come and they'll kneel at the altar. They'll cry, mascara running and all that. And then they'll try to convince, they will live their spiritual life for you and not for him. That's manipulation in the highest form. Run for the hills. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but the Holy Spirit just sent me to say something. And here's the deal. I know that you think you're strong. You think, well, no, I can lead them to Jesus. I can lead them back into relationship with the Father. I got this. I can do this. Well, let me just remind you that these three chapters in the book of Judges about this man named Samson, he was one of the strongest men to ever live. And though he was strong before men, he was weak in front of women. And you might be strong right now. You might be strong. You might be gifted and you might be talented and you might know a lot about God. But I can promise you, you are not strong enough for that battle. Samson the mighty fell in relationship with an unbeliever and you will fall too. No matter how strong you are, it doesn't matter. And while we're at it, the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked, and we just treat that as a suggestion rather than a commandment. But here's what I need to tell you, because I promise you, if we can learn these lessons from Samson, it will transform your destiny. It really will. You see, here's the deal. The reason that the Bible warns you about this is because something happens to you when you get saved. It's called being born again. All things are made new. Former things, former mindsets, perspectives, ideals, morals pass away, and in Jesus, all things are made new. That means that you see the world from one perspective and they're still seeing it from another. Your worldviews are totally polar opposite. And while you might be able to giggle and laugh and like to share some common interests right now, when things get real and you start to go through some difficult times with this person, you start talking about finances, you start talking about raising a family, you start talking about how you want to live your life and plan for your future, things will not mesh. Things will not be smooth. They will not work because you are seeing the world from two totally opposite perspectives. And I promise you, there is promise in your life. God has a plan for you. But if you ignore the word of God, your promise might just end in tragedy. Just ask Samson. And just, I'm going to throw this in for free.